The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha is Parshas Shmini. Vayhi bayom haShmini kora Moshe la'Aron ulevanov ulzikney Yisrael. It was on the eighth day, and Hashem called to Moshe and Aaron and his sons, and to the elders of Israel. So Rashi says, "Vayhi b'yom haShmini Shmini leMiluim." It was the eighth day of the Miluim. We learned in the past sedras that Klal Yisrael were commanded to build the Mishkan sanctuary. The building of the Mishkan started on the day after Yom Kippur, when Moshe returned from the mountain, from Har Sinai, with the second tablets. Actually, it was completed in the month of Kislev, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, commanded that it should not be erected until Nisan. For 7 days before the month of Nisan, Moshe erected the Mishkan, and he took down the Mishkan every day. Every day he put it up, and every day he took it down. On the eighth day, and that's what the Torah is referring to here, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day, and that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan. So that was a special day. Then Moshe put up the Mishkan, erected it, and it stayed up. That was the actual erection, the Hakomas HaMishkan, the erection of the sanctuary. That came out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it was called Shmini Limeluim. It was the eighth day of the inauguration. For 7 days there was the process of inaugurating the new sanctuary. Now she tells us, Vayhi b'yom haShmini Shmini Limeluim hi. It was the eighth day of the inauguration, Hu Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was the first day of Nisan. Shehukam HaMishkan b'yom. And on that day, the Mishkan was erected to stay. The first day of Nisan was a very special day. We find that throughout history many things happened on the first day of Nisan. It's actually that we're not far now from the first day of Nisan. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan is 2 weeks before Pesach, which is not too far off. Then came a certain celebration to celebrate this day, and there were special sacrifices, korbonis, that the Torah tells us of. Bosachov days, Vayisa Aaron Eshodov Elohim Vayivarachim. Aaron the Kohen, he lifted his hands to the nation and he blessed them. Vayered Masi Sachatos Olev Ashlomim. And he went from bringing the sin offering and the burnt offering and the shlomi, the peace offering. Vayove Meshe Vaharein El Maid Vayetsu Vayivorachu Esom. And Meshe came in together with Aaron into the El Maid, into the Mishkan. And they went and they blessed the nation. Vayero Kfeid Hashem El Kol Om. And the Anev Hashem appeared to the whole nation. Vateitze Eish Melivnei Hashem, Vateichel Al HaMizbeach Esa Ola, Esa Chalovim, Vayar Kol Om, Vayarone, Vayiplu Al Pneim. And a fire came down, and it consumed. It came down on the altar, and it consumed the burnt offering, and the Chalovim, the Chalev, the fats that were there, and all of the nation saw this miracle, and they rejoiced, and they bowed. Unfortunately, though, a great tragedy took place during this day of the Hakomas, the erection of the sanctuary. And this is what the Torah tells us now. Vayikhu v'nei Aaron, Nodav v'Aviu ish machtosei. Aaron had four sons. Two of them, Nodav and Avihu, they each took a machtosei, that was a utensil in which hot coals could be carried in. Vayitnu v'hein ish, placed fire in it, by Yosimo Aleo Ketores, and they placed incense in it, by Yakrivu Livnei Hashem, Eish Zoro, and they brought before Hashem an Eish Zoro, a strange fire, Asher Leitziva Esom, which they were not commanded to bring. But Teitze Eish Melivnei Hashem, Vateich Leisom, and a fire came up from before Hashem and consumed them, by Yamusa Livnei Hashem, and they died in the presence of Hashem. And Moshe said to Aaron, "Hu asher diber Hashem leimor." This is what Hashem had said, "Vikrevai ekodesh," that I will sanctify myself through those who are very close to me. And in the presence of the entire nation I shall be honored. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. What took place here? Rashi brings There are two opinions here as to why Nadab and Bihu, the sons of Aaron, died. Reb Lezer says that they died because they were Hayru Halocha Bifnei Meisher Rabban, because they paskined a din, they rendered decision in the presence of their Rebbe, Meisha, without asking him the question. They went and rendered decision on their own. It was for this reason that they were guilty for this punishment. Rebbe Shmuel says, Shtui Yayin Nichnasu L'Mikdush. The reason why this punishment came upon them is because they were Shtui Yayin. They drank wine before going into the Mikdush. And a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine when going into the Beis HaMikdush. Teda, somewhat of a support to the second opinion, She'achar misosin hizra neisorim shleichnasu shnui yayin l'mikdush. Because in the immediate next parsha, the Torah starts to command that shtui yayin, someone who drank wine, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdush to do the Avodah, to do what is necessary in the Beis HaMikdush. What does it say in the next parsha? In Posuk Ches, immediately following this episode, Vayidaber Hashem el Aaron lemor, Hashem said to Aaron, saying, Yain v'shecher al tesht, that you should not drink wine, Atah uvenecha itoch, you or your sons, beveyachem el ohel ma'id v'leisamusu. When you go into the ohel ma'id, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan, and you shall not die. Chukas eilam lederes eichem. There should be a statute forever. V'lahavdil ben hakodesh uben hachol ben hator. In order to distinguish between what is sanctified and what is not sanctified, what is not pure and what is pure. So it was the second opinion. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that they were shtui yayin, they drank wine. Now there's quite a bit of explanation that's necessary here. Firstly, it seems from the Torah that the reason why they died is because they brought forth a strange fire, a fire that was not commanded. They wanted to bring an offering that the Almighty did not command them. So why does Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shmuel say other explanations as to why they died? One says that because they rendered decision before Meisha, and the other says because they drank wine. And this, the answer is, in the Gurayi, if they brought fire that they had rendered their own decision on, and they were not commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu, so then this fire became a strange fire. Because they went and they rendered decision which was not rendered by Moshe Rabbeinu, so now this fire, this ketores, this incense that they were bringing, this was a strange korban, a strange sacrifice. And that's why the Torah says that because they brought a strange sacrifice, a sacrifice which was not commanded. That's according to the first opinion. According to the second opinion of Ishmael, that he says that they drink wine. So what does this have to do with bringing a strange korban? The halacha is, the law is, that if a kohen drinks wine before going into the Beis HaMikdash, not only is he transgressing a mitzvah, and the Torah tells us what the punishment is for such an act, but the avoda, what he does in the Beis HaMikdash, is psula, is disqualified. This Rashi brings later on, because since it says later on that you should distinguish between what is holy and what is not holy, so Rashi says that we learn from here that a kohen that offers the offering under the influence of wine, so his offering is disqualified. The Avedis Psula. The Korban, the sacrifice, is not a good sacrifice. So this also now explains very well this posuk. Because if they drank the wine and they were under the influence of the wine, so now their sacrifice was no longer ksheira. It was no longer qualified. It was no longer valid. And now it became a fire that Hashem did not command. This means, according to the first opinion, they brought something on their own. And the Aveira was that they decided on their own to bring this and not ask Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore it was considered a strange fire. According to the second opinion, they brought a fire that actually was commanded. They brought incense that was commanded. But because they were under the influence of wine, so therefore Avedosa Psula, the sacrifice became invalid. If it became invalid, so now it was a strange fire. It was an Eshzoro. And a strange fire is not acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why it states a strange fire. But we can still ask a further question. Why do these Tanoim, these rabbis of the Mishnah, why do they have to seek other reasons as to what the Aveda was of Nodav Avihu? Why isn't sufficient what the Torah said itself? The Torah says they brought a strange fire. Why do they have to seek additional reasons in how to interpret this posuk? So it should suffice that they brought a strange fire. Why is it necessary to say that the Aveira, the main Aveira was, is because they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, they passed in their own halacha, or because they drank wine? So the answer to this is because even if one brings a korban, which he is not commanded to, in this case of the incense, and the punishment is very severe for this. The Torah says, "V'somusu, misa b'dei shemayim," that is guilty of the death penalty from heaven. Still, to these Tanoim, to the rabbis of the Mishnah, they had difficulty in understanding why, though, such a sudden death should come upon the sons of Aaron. It is true that if someone brings a korban, a sacrifice which is not commanded, or incense which is not commanded, they are guilty of the death penalty from heaven, but not in such a tragic manner, not in such a sudden way. And here we see Pesach Pisim immediately, and right in the middle of this entire simcha, they were consumed by a fire. Therefore the rabbis of the Mishnah held there must be other reasons involved also. And one therefore said that the reason is because they rendered decision before Moshe Rabbeinu, and that caused the strange fire. And the other says, because of Shtuye Yain, they went into the Beis HaMikdash drunk, this caused the strange fire. Why through these reasons does it become more explicable as to why a sudden death all of a sudden befell them? Actually, we find that these aveiros, these transgressions, can be linked to the direct punishment which they received. The Gemara tells us that the Aveda of rendering halacha in the presence of one's Rebbe and not seeking counsel from him, this comes because a person wants to jump out in front. Kofatz Bereish. Rambam brings that those who are not capable of rendering halachos, and their kofatz bereish, they want to go in the front, Ran to give decisions in Israel, or someone who's in the presence of his Rebbe, where he is supposed to have the greatest fear, and he does not have this fear at all, and he does not withhold his opinion, this is a brazenness. This is an aggressiveness which should not take place where there is the sanctity of a person's Rebbe, and especially in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And since with such brazenness they went forward, Kodesh Baruch Hu immediately rejected them. They were immediately rejected from the Beis HaMikdash. And for such an act, especially if it was involved with bringing the incense, death befell them immediately. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah that from here we can get an idea of the type of fear and honor that a person is obligated towards one's Rebbe. He brings in Perek Hay, in the fifth Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kishem Shodim Metzuvah Bechved Oviv V'Yir Osai, just like a person is commanded to honor his father and to fear him, Kachu Chayev Bechved Rabbi V'Yir Osai Yeser Mi Oviv, so is he commanded to honor his rabbi and fear him even more than his father. Because a father brings a person into this world, but a rabbi, that brings the Talmud, that brings the student not into this world but into the next world. The father is the physical father, but the rabbi, that's the spiritual father. If a person finds a lost article, the Rambam gives us an example. This is from a mission in Masechta Bava Metzia. And there's a lost article of his Rebbe and a lost article of his father. Unless his father is also his Rebbe, he's obligated first to return the lost article which belongs to the Rebbe. If both his father and his Rebbe were taken captives, and he is coming to redeem them with ransom, first he's commanded to redeem his rabbi, and then he's commanded to redeem his father. If his father was a Talmud Chacham, then he must first redeem his father. But otherwise, he's obligated towards his Rebbe first. We do not find in the entire Torah where there is a greater honor that one is obligated to give than to his rabbi. This is speaking about a rabbi, a person that an individual learns Reiv Chachmosai from, the majority of his wisdom from. And we do not find a greater fear that one is obligated to fear than from his rabbi. Omru Chachomim, the sages say, the fear of one's Rebbe must be equal to the fear of heaven. Therefore, the Chachomim say, "Kol achelek al Rabbi kechelek al Ashkina." Anyone who is chelek, anyone who opposes the opinion of his Rabbi, it's as if he is opposing the Shekhinah of the Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shneimar ba'atzeisim al Hashem. This the Rambam brings from Korach, when Korach stood up against Moshe Rabbeinu. So there the Torah said he stood up against Hashem. Whoever quarrels with his rabbi, it's as if he's quarreling with Hashem. Whoever complains against his rabbi, it's as if he's complaining against Hashem. And whoever has second thoughts, doubts against his rabbi, it's as if he has doubts against Hashem. And many of these precedents are brought from the conduct of the nation in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the rabbi of Yisrael. Then the Rambam goes into the halachos of to be meira heira, the also laodem laheiris bifnei rabbi leilam, the chol hameira halacha bifnei rabbi chayim yisum. A person is not allowed to render a decision in his Rebbe, a Talmud. A Talmud is not allowed to render a decision in his Rebbe's presence. And if he does, so then he's guilty of the death penalty from heaven. And the sources are the sources in our parsha. So from here we see the great covet, the great honor and fear that the Torah demanded from us to have towards the rabbi. Because the rabbi is the one who teaches us Torah. And he's in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim. That you should fear Hashem. And inclusive in that fear that you must have towards Hashem is a Talmud Chacham. Same fear that you have towards Hashem, you must have towards the Talmud Chacham. And if he's your Rebbe, then even more so. So now that Nadav v'Avihu came and they brought a sacrifice of their own without being shailed, without asking Moshe Rabbeinu, and they rendered decision. They were made a hero. That this is how to be done. This is what should be done. So this came from a tremendous brazenness to break through the great honor and fear that one must have for Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore they were immediately rejected. And this tragedy came. This is the opinion of that Tano who says that we cannot simply learn that it was merely because they brought a strange fire that tragedy befell them. But it must have been because of this reason. He has somewhat of a support to this also, because also in the next parsha, which deals that a person should not drink, it also speaks of Lahayres, that not only he should not drink before going into the Beis Hamikdash, but he also should not drink before rendering a decision. So it speaks also of rendering a decision. And it could be that here is an intimation that this was intertwined in this Avera of Nadav v'Avihu. According to the second opinion of Nadav v'Avihu, that they were shtuye yayin. They were drunk with wine. Why do we find such a rejection? The reason why the Torah was so stringent that the Kohanim, when they go into the Beis Hamikdash, they should not be shtuye yayin, they should not be drunk with wine. We do not find in other places of the Torah where the Torah would punish someone from being drunk. This we do not find any place in the Torah. That if someone drinks wine, he drinks to the degree where even if he becomes drunk, that the Torah renders him a punishment. It's true, alcoholism was never a problem by Jews. And many times we find a mitzvah to drink. For Kiddush we drink wine. Pesach we drink arba cases, 4 cups of wine. On Purim it's a mitzvah to drink ad leyoda, the Gemara says. It's a mitzvah to drink until a person doesn't know the difference between Boruch Motchai, between Oro Homan and Boruch Motchai. Cursed is Homan and blessed is Motchai. So many times we find mitzvahs of wine. We do not find explicitly any place in the Torah where a person was punished from drinking wine. We do find that if the wine caused them to inflict injury upon other people or inflict damages upon other people or to come to certain averas, so this understandably the Torah severely criticized But the actual drinking of wine itself, we do not find that to be an aveira in the Torah, that the Torah punished. This is an exception to the case here. Exception to the case here is that the Kohanim were not allowed to drink wine before going into the Beis HaMikdash, and if they did, so the Torah here says, "V'lei shamusu," you should not drink wine in order not to bring death upon yourselves. And the avoda was disqualified. So we see that the drinking, this reference to drinking of wine here is in particular in regards to going into the Beis HaMikdash. And why is this? The answer to this is because actually the drinking of wine, to be drunk under the influence of alcohol, is just contrary to the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Beis HaMikdash? This was something that was Kodesh, sanctified. Sanctity means something which is uplifted beyond the physical level. As we spoke about in the past Shurim, we have the physical world. Beis HaMikdash was something which was elevated. And this is why we find, as Mikdoshai Tiro'u, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you should fear my Mikdosh. Yire Yisera Nitzave Al HaMikdash. We were commanded with additional fear and additional respect when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Because this was an area which separated itself from the mundane world, from this world. This means that when the Kohanim would go into the Beis HaMikdash, they would have to uplift themselves to bring themselves to the level of the Beis HaMikdash. Like we spoke in past Shurim, the Beis HaMikdash was the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishochanti b'seichom, it was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in this world. It was the link between this world and the next world. Like by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov slept and he had a dream, and he was sleeping in the place where the Beis HaMikdash eventually would be built, so he saw a ladder and he said, "Ein zekim beis elokim ze shara shamayim," this is the house of Hashem, and that is the gates, those are the gates to heaven. And Rashi says, "Beis HaMikdash shel mata, Beis HaMikdash shel malo." The Beis HaMikdash in this world is here, the Beis HaMikdash in the next world is exactly above this place in the heavens. The link that joins the two worlds. Man is made up of a physical and spiritual counterparts. Kodesh Baruch Hu molded man from the earth, and he gave him a spirit from himself, from the upper worlds. So he's made up of both of these counterparts. And these are the two worlds. And man has the ability to join the two worlds and to uplift himself. And when the Kohanim would go into the Beis HaMikdash, this was their charge, this was their task, to uplift themselves, to sanctify themselves, to elevate themselves to the level of the Beis HaMikdash. This is why it was called Kodosh. Kodosh means something which is separated, separated beyond this world. Shikras, when a person becomes drunk, this is just the opposite. Why? Because the power that the person, that was given to the person to elevate himself, is his das, was the intellect that was given to man. With his intellectual abilities, with his keen insight, his understanding, he is able to elevate himself. When one is under the influence of drink, so he loses the seichel. He loses his power of das. And the physical element of man prevails. The physical element of man prevails, and he falls. So if a Kohen would go into the Beis HaMikdash, shtui yayin, under the influence of drinking wine, this is just contrary to his whole task, to the whole level of the Beis HaMikdash. Here he's supposed to elevate himself. He's supposed to take his seichel, his das, his intellect, and rule his body with it. And instead, through the wine, he deadens the seichel to where the physical rules the mental and intellectual and spiritual powers. Now, it could be, that generally speaking, this would not be such an aveira. And many times it's mitzvah for particular reasons. Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. Yantiv is a mitzvah. Purim, it's a mitzvah. And each, there are particular reasons for each time. But when it comes to the bechina, to the dimension of the Beis HaMikdosh, it is just contrary to that whole dimension. And therefore, when they came into the Beis HaMikdosh, they were rejected. And befell upon them this tragedy. So these are reasons why the Tanoim search for additional reasons as to why this tragedy came upon Nodav Avihu. Vayeme Meshel al Aaron, hu Hashem diber Hashem. Meshel said to Aaron, this is what Hashem has said. Bikrevai ekodesh, that I shall sanctify myself with those who are close to me. Valpene kolom ekovid, and in the presence of all of the nations I shall honor myself. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron remained silent. Now what is the meaning of this pasuk? After this tragedy took place, Moshe told Aaron, this is on Pasuk Gimel. After this tragedy took place, Moshe told Aaron, this is what Hashem said, that I will sanctify myself with those who are close to me, and I will honor myself in the presence of all of the nation. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. And after such a tragedy, Moshe naturally would try to comfort his brother. So how was this a comfort to him? And what did this mean? So Rashi brings Hu Asher Diber, brings from the Gemara in Zvochim, Heichen Diber Veno Arati Shoma Livnei Yisrael V'nigdash Bichvaydi Al Tikra Bichvaydi Ele B'mechubadai Omalei Meshe La'aren. Meshe said to Aaron, Aaron Achi, Yedea Yisi Shiskadish Abayis Bimidov Shel Mokum. The pasuk that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sanctify his name through those who know him very closely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be sanctified in this world through those who are very close to him. So Moshe said to Aaron, I knew that when it came to the building of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, so why did this happen now? I knew when it came to the sanctification of the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be sanctified by some very great people who are very close to him. And I didn't know if it would be through me or through you. I thought it would either be through me or through you. Now that I see that it happened through Nodav Avihu, I see that they are greater than both you and I. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron remained silent, kibushar al shtikose, and he received reward for being silent. Umashar kibul, what was the reward that he received? Shnisachir imay adibor, because in the next parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, comes to instruct with the mitzvahs that a kohen should not drink before going into the Beis HaMikdosh. So there he spoke only to Aaron. Shnishachir imay adibor shenemra leilavadi pashish tu yayin. There it does not say vayomer vayedaber Hashem el Meshe v'Aaron, that Hashem spoke to Meshe and Aaron. It only says vayedaber Hashem el Aaron, that Hashem spoke to Aaron. Now what does all of this mean? That Meshe said, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies himself through those who are very close to him. And Moshe thought that the Mishkan would be sanctified only either through me or through you, Aaron. And when I saw that it was sanctified through your sons, Nodav Avihu, so I see that they are greater than both of us. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us, "Bikrevai v'al pnei kol omek oved, kishakodesh baruch hu esedin betzadikim." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu does judgment with the righteous, mishore umisale umiskalis. So then he becomes feared in the world. He becomes elevated and he becomes praised in the world. Imkein be'elu koshkein bereshoyim. And people say that if this is his judgment with the righteous, then how much more so with the reshoyim, with the evil? V'chein hu aimer neire lekim mikdoshecha al tikre mikdoshecha el mikdoshayach. Neire lekim, the fear of Hashem, comes from the way that he sanctifies himself through those who are close to him. In here is a very deep concept, a very deep concept. What does it mean? The Rambam brings, we've mentioned this many times in the past. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchus Taanis. Mitzvus asei min atere lizoik ulohoria bechatzeitzreis al kol tzore shetole ala tzibur. On any bad times, any difficulties that come upon Klal Yisrael, it's a positive commandment to go and to cry to Hashem. Lohariya bechatzeitzreis. At that time, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they would take out trumpets or shayfres, and they would decree, and it's a mitzvah to decree Tanesim fast days. Any difficult time, for example, if it's famine or if it's plague or locusts and so forth. What is the purpose of this? This is from the Derech Hatshuva. This brings person to repentance. Why? Because if a person will react this way, so then he will realize that it is his act which is causing this. And then he will realize that it is the rectification of his act which will rectify the situation. But if when something happens to the world or it happens to Klal Yisrael, and the person will not react in this manner, but a person will merely say that this is just natural phenomena, this is just natural, these are natural cycles, this has nothing to do with my deeds, this is a ruthless manner. Why? Because this will cause a person to continue in his bad ways. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be taisiv tzoras acheres. He will have to bring more tzoras. Hu shekosu b'Torah, this is what the Torah writes, v'alachta mimi b'keri, v'alachti gam ini mochem v'chamas keri. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Parshas HaTeches, when he says that he will bring punishments and plagues to Klal Yisrael, so there he writes that because you walk with me, Bikeri, I also will walk with you, Bikeri. What does it mean, Bikeri? That you walk with me in a manner which you do not relate your acts to what is happening. But everything is only mere coincidence. Now the principle which Rambam is saying here is that many times a person feels that anything that will happen in the world, or anything that will happen to Israel, or anything that will happen to him personally, has nothing to do with his own acts. It has nothing to do with it. And therefore, he will not have any reason why to search in his own acts, or to try to better himself. Something happens in the world. What does it have to do with me? Plague comes to Israel. Kolilo. Tragedy comes. Sickness comes. What does it have to do with me? This is a natural attitude. Many times a person, maybe it'll come from haughtiness, many times it'll come from not realizing the potential power of man. Why should I have anything to do with what happens in the world? Or why can I have any control over what happens to me or my family personally? Now, if this is the attitude of man, so then he will never seek to better himself. And in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will even bring more tzoras. Therefore, the Rambam says that we are commanded that if a tzora comes, we must react to it. We must fast. We must be mispalel. We must react. Why? Because then we will link what has happened to our deeds. The key is that what is happening in the world around us, is it linked to our deeds or not? If we say that it's a direct cause, a direct offshoot from our deeds, then there is unity in everything that's taking place in the world. If we say it has nothing to do with our deeds, so then that's V'alachti Mimi Bekeri. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you walk with me as if one thing has nothing to do with the other. As if whatever happens to you is divorced from your actions. And it's merely coincidental. This is in regards to tzoras. The same is true in regards to something that's good that happens to a person. Many times, brocha comes to a person. Now, a person is obligated to link this good that happened to his or her deeds. Rambam in Hilchos Brachos says that a person should praise Hashem on everything good that happens to him. Whatever happens that's good to the person, he must give shvach to Hashem, he should give praise to Hashem. Whether it's physical goodness or spiritual goodness, he must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bechol keichai, with all of his strength. And we find that in the Tehillim, David HaMelech all the time was singing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonders and on all of the chesed that he did for him. Saper es tifleisecho, I will tell over the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why the Chazal created all of the brochas that we say was for this reason, that we should continually thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the goodness that He has given us. And at the same time, the Rambam writes there, and he should constantly be mispalel to Hashem on a tzora, that a difficulty should not befall him. Now again, this is for the principle of linking man's acts to whatever is happening to him. In other words, we are not people who believe that everything is predestined, that everything that will happen, and it has nothing to do with the individual. Just to the contrary. To the contrary, the Torah tells us that a man is a master of his own destiny. And a man builds his own house, and he builds his own road. And in the path that he wants to walk, this is the path that he will be led. We should not mislead ourselves into thinking. We should not mislead ourselves into thinking that our destinies are mapped out for us. Rambam clearly writes that every individual has the power to become the greatest righteous person, as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and also has the power to become great in evil. We wouldn't say that you cannot say that this person is not capable of becoming great, or this person is not capable of doing something that's wrong. Not true.
every person was given free choice to map out his own road. And what happens to him, what happens to his family, are direct links from his own acts. This doesn't mean to say that if he does mitzvahs, he will become wealthy. If he doesn't do mitzvahs, he will be poor. It means to say that if he will fulfill mitzvahs, if he will fulfill the Torah, if he will become righteous, Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring him bracha. The interpretation of that bracha, that Kodesh Baruch Hu interprets. Not everything that we feel is bracha, he might think is bracha for us. And if a person does not gain righteousness, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring punishment. Again, the interpretation of the punishment might not be the same as what we would interpret it. But this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Esek. The Yisod of Kol HaTorah. This is the foundation of the Torah. General opinion is not like that. People think that we are victims of our own destinies, we are victims of our own circumstances, we are victims of our own societies. And there's very little that can be done about it. This is Hepech HaTorah, this is contrary to the Torah. That man is a giant. He is a creator, and he is a master. And he creates, and he's the master of his destiny. And this is why we are constantly reminded of this. Now, if we say that whatever is happening in the world, this is divorced from our acts, so then this means that there is very little hashgacha, supervision over what is taking place in the world. If we say that whatever happens in the world is a direct fruit from our acts, then the world is entirely a supervised control structure. It's a structured situation with no deviation from that structure, no hefkeres. Nothing can happen merely out of coincidence or out of phenomena. So we're dealing here now with great principles. Most of the world feels the first way. The Jew is obligated to believe in the second way. The Ramban writes that a Jew is obligated to believe with all of his heart that if he will fulfill mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give forth his reward for it in this world and the next world. If he will transgress the mitzvahs of Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give forth his punishment. He writes, this is the obligation for a Jew to believe. This is the Yisod HaTorah. To believe. Jew will not believe this. And he is destroying the underlying principle of Torah and mitzvahs. Now, if we believe that the world is completely structured, everything that takes place in the world is all one unit, and the central point of that is man, and everything else that's happening is just the reactions of man's deeds which Hashem brings to this world. So then when we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts judgment from his very righteous people, from here we see how great and fearful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Nora mimikdoshecho, that even from his righteous people, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts judgment. Even from his very righteous people, not one act is left to be lost.
Everything is dealt out proportionately. Everything is kishuras hadin. Everything is perfect. Even, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed, for example, to speak to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yana shele amantin bi, you do not believe in me. So if we see that even with the very righteous HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracts and exacts perfection, and not one thing goes overlooked, then from here we learn Kal v'chomer harishoyim. So what will be with the evil? See, man many times is tempted to believe that that rosha, that evil person, what he does he'll get away with. Nobody can stop him. He's doing as he pleases. And that's a chilul Hashem. This is a desecration to Hashem's name. Why? Because Hashem is the master of the world. And if someone can get away with something like that, so this is a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the master of the world. So when we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts and extracts perfection of judgment, even from those who are very close to Him, so the immediate reaction to the believer is, so Kal v'chomer harishoyim, so the evil, how much more so? If this will happen to His righteous, so then we can imagine what will happen to the evil. And what they do will not be lost. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nis'ale. So this elevates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whom is kalesi becomes more praiseworthy. Because when a person sees deen, when he sees judgment in the world, he praises Hashem. Because if there is judgment in the world, this is praise to the dayon, to the judge, to the odin, to the master of the world. When there is no judgment in the world, this is a desecration. This is a disgrace to the master of the world. Therefore, Moshe said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be sanctified in the world. The Chazal tell us that His name is sanctified. The greatest sanctification is when He demands judgment, even from His righteous ones. Because if He demands judgment from the evil, but He'll overlook the sins of the righteous, that's not perfection, that's not perfect judgment. That does not reflect then on the perfection of the master of the world. So the uplifting of Hashem's names is greater when He deals with His righteous. And therefore Moshe said that I knew when the Mishkan would be sanctified, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be sanctified by those who are very close to Him. Except I did not know if this would be through me or through you. Now I see that the ones that He chose to sanctify His name through was not of Avihu. Because when the world saw what took place, they saw how He exacts and extracts judgment even from the very righteous. So He says, I know that they are greater than both I and you. Because when people see this, so they say, if this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with His righteous, so how much more so with the Rishoyim, with the evil? And this shows that there is consistency, perfection, there is structure in the world. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. When a person looks at this with emunah, with faith, then he is elevated. The Gemara says that many times a person can come through to greater heights through yisurin, through difficulties, through bad times, through hard times, and through good times. Gemara brings, I think the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, I mentioned it before, that one of the great Tanoim was sick. And the Talmidim came to visit him. He was very sick and he was suffering. And each Talmud gave a praise to the Rebbe. One said that you are the master of all of Israel, they live by your Torah, and another one compared him to the sun, and another one compared him to the rain, and so forth and so on, trying to comfort him. And Rabbi Akiva said, Chavivin Yesurin. Yesurin, difficulties, to be afflicted, this is dear to a person. And when the rabbi heard this, he said, come closer, Akiva, my student. I want to hear what you say. The rabbis explain that the levels of perfection that a man can attain, many times it is easier for himself to attain this through difficult periods, through affliction. David HaMelech said, Shivtecho mishantecho heme yinachamuni. My comfort will come from the staff of judgment. Because when a person looks at the world with an emunah, with a faith, and a difficulty befalls him, if he does not have emunah, so then he's left in a state of hysteria. He's left in a state of chaos. What is happening? What can I do? But if he has emunah, so then he feels the guiding hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting and extracting from him perfection, bringing him to the exact perfect path, drawing him closer. And through difficulty, he can come even to higher levels. If he has no faith, then he rejects what happens. He rejects what happens, and he opposes what happens. He is not silent. If he has faith, then he accepts what happens. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. When he heard this from Moshe, he remained silent. What was the reward that Aaron received? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to teach the next parsha of Torah, he spoke only to Aaron, not to Moshe. All the time he would speak to Moshe, or he would speak to Moshe and Aaron. Here he spoke only to Aaron. What does this mean? This means that when the next parsha of Torah was to be taught, Aaron was in a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu was. And therefore it had to be taught first to Aaron and then to Moshe. All the time the Torah came down through Moshe Rabbeinu, or it came through both of them. But the next parsha, it came to Aaron alone, and then Aaron had to teach it over to Moshe. Because when Aaron was silent, Rashi tells us what was the reward he received from for his silence. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him alone. When he was silent, this great tragedy that befell him, and he was silent, and he saw the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the meaning of it, he saw the guidance, so this uplifted him to dimensions higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't oppose it, but he accepted it, he grew with it. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to teach the next parsha, he taught to Aaron alone. This is what is meant that Moshe told him. This was the nechoma, the tanchumin, the comfort that Moshe told him. Which he said, Vayeme Moshe la'arein, hu asher diber Hashem le'mor. This is what Hashem has said, Bikrevai ekodesh v'alpnei kolam mikove. That what happened here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will sanctify myself, my name will be sanctified through those who are close to me. And my honor over the nation will be shown through only those who are very close to me. And since Nodav Aviyu were so close, this is why I chose them. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was high. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this parsha. which took place during the Shmini Lemaluim on the 8th day of the Hakomas HaMishkon. And although it's a very sad parsha, because such a tragedy befell Aaron, but the Torah writes about it, and therefore we're obligated to study it and expound it. And we should all be zeicher to come to high levels in Emunas Hashem through Simchas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.